So now switching to Final Fantasy, it's one of my favorite scores of yours, and in fact one of my favorite scores of all time almost.
Thank you.
And
there's
so
a few of you. There's like eight of you that think that way.
Pardon me?
It's probably eight of you on the whole planet, or three of you on the whole planet that think that. But
well, how did you first become aware of that project?
Oh, it was suggested to me by my agent, and then I met the and say, well, you know, the bad news is that you'll have to compose this. You'll have to meet the folks who are producing the film in Hawaii. So I said, yeah, someone has to do it, so I guess I'll go down there. So I went down and found that there's this Japanese folks, mainly the director, Sakaguchi-san, who is the mystic mainspring behind the Final Fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
The director was there, and we got along very, very well. They were quite lovely folks, and we ended up just by the force of the personality and the congeniality, we got along very well. And then I said, look, this is an experiment. You know, there have been times in music history, like in the short music. History of cinema, like for example, Bernard Herrmann did Voyage to the Center. I mean, you know, those are the Seven Voyages of Sinbad and things like that. That weren't the greatest movies in the world, but were attempts at expanding the meaning of cinema and the techniques in cinema. So I felt that it was in that tradition, and I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And the London Symphony Orchestra played brilliant, you know, with 10 sessions over there in England.
Sure.
And so I was very, very happy.
Now, in the composer commentary on the Final Fantasy DVD, you mentioned some unusual instruments, such as the shakuhachi and the glass harmonica.
Well, I use the glass harmonica a great deal. I mean, it's sort of like one of the instruments I use in many scores. I love it. It's this ethereal sound. It's, you know, when you play champagne glasses, you know, with a dry finger and the wet glass, that kind of sound. It was an instrument that Benjamin Franklin invented, and that actually Mozart once wrote a little serenade for. He called it the glass harmonica with an A, and it sort of bowls that are attached together. Concentrically going from small to large, and there's water in a little box, so to speak, and the bowls turn round and round as you press the pedal with your foot, and you play it as these bowls go round and round, large bowls to the smaller ones to create higher or lower frequencies, and it's really ethereal and beautiful in its sound. Shakuhachi is a very traditional Japanese flute that's usually played with sort of an overblowing kind of sound. It's haunting, it's beautiful, and sometimes very, very agonizing in its effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful.
So how do you find players for these various instruments?
Oh yeah, there's so much interest. Maybe there's not that many glass harmonicas around, but the players around, but the ones that are there are very devoted, and you can ferret them out. The shakuhachi player, there are, you know, certainly tens of thousands of those.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an interest, there are people that climb out of the woodwork, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you mentioned that Final Fantasy was an experiment. Now, did you approach scoring Final Fantasy any differently than you would have any of your other scores?
Yeah, because it was a totally computerized humans. I approached it in a way that was where I wanted to tackle or figure out how to do the love scenes first, or the romantic scenes, so that the humanness of the movie was amplified, as opposed to trying to work out all the fantasy bits, all the space battles and the creatures and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is in the realm of action music, and it didn't take that much of a different departure. But I really needed to nail down, make sure that the emotional scenes were working.
Okay. So now for the song "The Dream Within," what came first, the music or the lyrics?
Oh, the music came first.
Okay. And
because it's a theme that appears in those romantic sections that mm-hmm. slowly evolve out of those romantic sections. Yeah, so it's in the body of the movie. It's not just a song that's tacked on at the end.
Right. Now, how closely did you work with Richard Rudolph on the lyrics for, or did he just write them separately?
Well, we worked pretty closely. We worked. He was involved in the capacity as a music supervisor in the movie, and he was very, very, very close to the whole project and everything involved in it in a hands-on way. So it was a very intimate process.
How would a score you write today differ from one you wrote 10 years ago?
I could see better then, so I didn't have to wear glasses to write. That's the only difference.
Oh.
I don't think there's any difference, really. The projects come along, and they are the dictators. They dictate what you need to do. Remember, you're writing for something that exists, and it's not your existence that's dictating it. I don't see any difference, really, at this point. No.
Okay. Now, I have always felt that film music will be the classical music of tomorrow. How do you think film music will be regarded in about 50 to 100 years from now?
I think it'll take a lot more time, but I think it'll be regarded in the same way that any art is regarded, and that is probably about 85% of it is terrible, as is in any art,
mm-hmm.
And that 15%, as is in any art, will rise to the top as something spectacular. And there'll be bursts of brilliance when brilliant composers come along, and the Mozarts in the film composer arenas will emerge, and the lines, I think, will be broken down between those who write for film and theater and the concert stage. It's such a young art. It's only 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
practically. And consider the fact that, can you imagine the first 100 years of opera? You know, I mean, or the first 100 years of... It's an emerging language. And the possibilities are going to get really, really interesting over the next 100 years.
Okay. Well, I have you listed down here as doing a movie called Frida, and coming up in 2002,
yeah.
and something called The Good Thief,
yes.
coming up in 2003. What else does the future hold for you?
Well, the future holds an opera called Grendel, written by John Gardner, which is a Beowulf legend from the monster's point of view.
Mm.
My ballet, Othello, will be in the U.S. in great performances. I don't know if they get it in Canada and Europe, but I think they do, which is public broadcasting, and that was recorded by the San Francisco Ballet Company, which just toured Paris and came New York, and the ballet will be also next summer in New York in the Metropolitan Opera House. There's also a possibility of a Broadway production of Pinocchio, but that's a long shot. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, one thing.
The Good Thief is a Neil Jordan project.
Oh, okay.
Which is with Nick Nolte, and it's a very European movie. It's a retelling of a French movie by director Melville called Bob the Gambler,
mm-hmm.
and. Frida is about Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera, the two great Mexican painters, with Salma Hayek as Frida Kahlo, and that's with the director Julie Taymor, and that's myself. It's a very different score from me because it's all beautiful melodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is just melodies, as opposed to, let's say, motivic development of the score.
Well, thank you very much for taking your time today. I really appreciate this. I mean, this has been a thrill for me because I've, like I said, I've been following your work since 1992 with the Alien 3. And when I first heard those first few notes of Alien 3, I knew I was onto something different.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear.